sex.
All right. Hey, Scarlett, it's Mary Adele, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator here. As usual, here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality and make them more joyful and liberating and inclusive so that we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. So last episode, we talked about shame. It was the first part of a series, a two-part series. And so we're here for the second part of our series on shame. And I have a very special guest with me. She's a comedian. She's a writer. She's an all-around boss babe who makes me laugh so hard until I pee a little bit. She's a very, very close friend of mine. Her name is Erin Drew of Baltimore.
Yeah.
So we want to welcome her to the show. Erin, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a few things.
Yeah, like that's a hard intro to follow. But yeah, I'm Erin Drew, and I'm born and raised in Baltimore. And I do some performance, some improv, some writing around town, some voiceovers. And Mary's one of my most favorite people in the whole wide world. So I'm really honored and excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you. Erin's got a lot to discuss with us today. I just want to give you a little background on us. So we actually had our own podcast that we did from our homes back and forth. It was called Give Me the Deets. But we met at University of Baltimore, and there we connected because we were both creative writers, and we one day had a conversation about Catholic guilt and how that impacted our sexuality, how that impacted our teenage years and everything we went through. And we even talked at length about that on our own podcast at one point. So I thought that she would be the perfect person to come in and kind of talk about her experience with shame and sexuality. So let's really quickly recap. On shame, the definition is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. And remember, we talked about the consciousness being key because it's not so much that you've actually done something wrong. It's that you have perceived that you've done something wrong and that something that you should be embarrassed about. So we, a lot of times, will internalize, we'll feel a lot of guilt, and we will just kind of sit in this pool of shame for a long time, and it does not feel good. We talked about our shame wizards. We talked about being our own worst critics. And both Erin and I today are going to give you a few more tips on how to kind of combat that shame so that you can be more liberated and feel good in your own skin. So, Erin, I talked about last episode my experience with shame and how I developed vaginismus and, you know, kind of unlearning that and having to go through the therapy. I just wanted to kind of look at your sexual history, if you don't mind. Your consent?
You have my consent. Let's get in there.
All right. Okay. So, Erin, can you talk to the Scarlets and me a little bit about your sexuality growing up? Like, how did you experience it? What are some experiences that stand out to you?
Yes. So I grew up Catholic, and
heyo.
I'm not Catholic anymore. But yeah, heyo for the time. But yeah, so you know, my parents had me young. I was unplanned. They were 21, and I was the firstborn. So in addition to like Catholic upbringing and the shame that sort of came around sex, and I'll get into that, I think my mom was also wanted to scare me into like not having sex because having a kid at 21 was like difficult for her. And so, you know, I learned from a very young age. Like, I think my parents had a sex talk with me when I was like in third grade, and all I remember was I asked about what the word virgin meant because I heard it in the Bible. So they tried to educate early, but then I would go to school and we had something called family life, which was the religious way of teaching about sexuality, which basically I just remember learning about the anatomy of boys and girls.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew nothing really, and the internet wasn't around. So I'm 36, you know, and we didn't have computers or the internet really until I was in like 10th grade. So we just had each other to talk to. And I lived in a small community. We went to school with the same 28 kids from kindergarten through 8th grade. And we all were really pretty clueless.
Yeah.
So I just kind of adopted the idea that like, and I heard pretty early on that you don't have sex until marriage. You have one partner. It's a sacred thing. Like all of that was really drilled into me. And so then I started to develop judgments about when I heard other people had sex from other schools or whatever, that sex was scary, that it was something that was reserved only for one person when you fell in love, and that God didn't want you doing it otherwise. Mm. And because I went to church every Sunday and I really was into my faith, I was a part of like youth groups and I was a leader of youth groups, and I sort of like set an example for other people. And then adults who I also cared very much what they thought would use me as an example. This is Erin. She's so great. She's a good Catholic. She wouldn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then when I was 16, you know, I was asked to share in front of like a church of 200 people about like why I wanted to wait until marriage to have sex.
Essentially pledge your virginity.
Pledge my virginity. And I took a lot of pride in that because I had a lot of respect for authority. I wanted to please people, always been a people pleaser. And to me, that felt really good. Mm-hmm. It felt really good that people were praising me for this decision that I was making, which looking back didn't make any goddamn sense because like, how can you pledge that you don't want to do something? I didn't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what sex felt like or anything like that. So it made my sexuality and coming of age pretty confusing because I would get turned on and then I would feel bad about it.
Yeah. Shame.
Shame. I would like kiss boys and then feel like, should I feel okay? In ninth grade, like I humped a pillow and I had an orgasm for the first time and I felt like a psycho. Like I didn't even know orgasms were a thing. Mm-hmm. So it made things pretty complicated.
Yeah. Well, and that really resonates with me, the whole like having crushes and, you know, feeling these feelings towards other people, but then like immediate, like so having that rush, but then immediately feeling guilty because I'm having the rush. And it's like so much for a young person to really try to process. So of course you're just going to be like, oh, this is bad. I should punish myself or I shouldn't ever feel this way again.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next time you feel it, you're like, ah, but I told myself I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's such a spiral. So I'm wondering about now that you're, you know, in your 30s and going through your 20s, like, were there ways that you intentionally or self-awarely, with the self-awareness that you kind of tried to unlearn some of that shame?
Yeah. So I gave that speech when I was 16 and then at 18, 2 years later, I had sex for the first time. And so I felt awful. Mm-hmm. So much shame. I just like laid in bed and I was like, I told all these people, I promised God, I promised my parents that I wouldn't do this. And I did it. Mm-hmm. It was like I lost something, you know, and I hate the term losing your virginity because it makes it seem like,
whole other podcast.
Yeah. But I felt like I did something bad. And then I ended up having a conversation with my boyfriend at the time. I don't know. We shouldn't do this. But then I'd get all worked up and like passionate. We'd make it out. And then I was like, ah, screw it. We'll do it again. And then so it was just this pattern.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of continued into early adulthood. But as I went through college, some things happened with my faith. I went through a reformation of like my own faith and values and slowly became atheist and then agnostic and that sort of thing. And I, and a lot of that had to do with sex and the shame around it. And I started to think on my own and sort of like, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't positive for me. This isn't good for my psyche. This is, let me start to reshape this and became way less judgmental and that sort of thing. But then I kind of swung in the other direction and I would use sex as a way to then escape or to sort of punish my psyche. Or I wasn't, so basically my parents got divorced when I was 25 and then I sort of just went on a rampage of like sleeping with everyone, friends and other people. And that was sort of my way to, I don't know, I think to
escape,
or almost intentionally make myself feel bad because I never felt great after that. So it wasn't like a liberating, sex positive, sleeping with a bunch of people, which is can be so great and wonderful. It was more negative and it made me feel worse and worse and worse. And then I eventually, you know, had healthier relationships and was able to come out of it. But sex, it took a long time. I mean, it probably took until my very late 20s, early 30s to really feel comfortable and okay with sex in general and not and not using it as a tool for something, not feeling bad about it, feeling invigorated, loving it. And actually, a lot of that came from meeting you, doing our podcast, learning a lot about it. But yeah, it took a long time.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes, you know, it's not so much that you sit down and you're like, I'm going to do this work of unlearning shame. A lot of times it does come with age and experience and time and patience. And I think the common denominator probably between our two situations was this kind of self-worth practice that I think both of us probably started building up in our 20s, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's going to look different for every single person. And there's people out there who have self-worth right out of their, you know, as soon as they're born. And that's beautiful and wonderful. But other people, it takes a while to really like figure that stuff out, especially if you have these histories that, you know, where you're hearing from a church, you're hearing from family, like different things, conflicting things. And it's hard to really know what's right,
you know?
And if you want to people please, then you have that whole side of things. So,
yeah.
So where are you now with your sexuality? Are you still unlearning some stuff? I know you said that beginning of the 30s is when you really started to feel more empowered and liberated, but.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't know that I'm still unlearning. I think that, what I'm going through now is mostly just relationship complications, emotional stuff. You know what I mean? But as far as sex goes, love it. Think it's great. just texted you the other day about which vibrator to get. Like, yeah. I'm sex positive. You know what I mean? I've learned so much and so much about myself. I mean, I think I have a lot of growth to do to figure out, you know, I haven't had a long-term partner in a while, and I would love to sex for me is still very emotional. So I do have a hard time, like, having one night stands or whatever, regardless of how much I want to have sex. Like, that's really hard for me. But I don't think that has to do with the shame. It just has to do with, like, knowing who I am and knowing that I connect to people very easily. And sex makes it so much more of a deeper connection for me.
Sure.
So casual sex is something I'm not great at or super interested in. But I am looking forward to having a partner again where we can try, you know, stuff in the bedroom and have a really healthy, beautiful, wonderful sexual relationship where it's where I feel 100% comfortable. Yeah. And I think my last relationship, I was there, but because we didn't connect on certain like emotional levels, it was hard. So I'm really looking forward to that again. But yeah, no, I feel good about it, and I feel really, I think learning more about other people's sexuality, learning about the history of sexuality, the fluidity of sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, I've been attracted to women. I've wanted to pursue women sometimes, and that's been as of the last few years, and that sort of made me feel a little weird or guilty, or like you're either straight or you're bi or you're gay, like that, you know. And reading and following accounts like yours and other influencers who are out there teaching people about sex and the fluidity and everything makes me feel so – it's so empowering. It's like anything else. You're just so empowered when you just learn about it.
Yeah.
And you learn that, like, okay, the things I'm feeling are normal and it's okay.
Yeah.
And so I think I've gotten into a good pattern of, like, reinforcing myself with that. It's cool. It's – okay, you're feeling this today. That's okay. That's good, you know.
Let yourself feel it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to lots more sex.
Yeah,
really, is where I'm at right now.
That's awesome. And I think, like, you hit on something important there, that it's a journey. And, like, I've talked about this before, that, you know, in terms of sexual drive or sexual desire or libido or who you're desiring and what you're desiring, like, that can change and evolve through time, and that's okay. And you don't have to ever put a label on it if you don't want to. Like,
yeah,
there's no – I know that it's important that we talk about different sexual orientations and different sexualities and different genders and all that. That's such important stuff. But it's also, like, an individual thing. Like, you're allowed to – claim be who you are without having to define yourself, and just to kind of, like,
yeah,
go through life and explore. And
I think that has so much to do with finding your tribe, your community, your people. I think I grew up with certain things or people where I felt judged, you know, or and they still, many of them are judgmental or not, just not on the same wavelength, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to find people who are on your page and to talk to them about things and sort of be able to feel safe to speak about things like this.
Yeah.
You're one of those people for me, and I have a handful of other people where I'm just like, I can be whoever I am, and I don't need to cover anything up, and I don't need to feel bad or weird or ashamed or whatever. I can just speak freely. And I think that finding those people are just so important for sort of growing and accepting yourself and others, and that was a huge part of
That's
of
really
coming out of that.
Yeah, that's so important. And just know, listeners or Scarlets, that if you're with someone and you don't feel right, it doesn't feel right, you're allowed to walk away from that person, even mm-hmm. if you've been friends for a long time. Like, you need to do what's best for you at all times, as long as you're not harming other people, obviously. But
right.
just do what's best for you and take care of yourself, which I know sometimes is easier said than done. Erin, what advice would you give? So I think a lot of our listeners are between the ages of 18, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. So what would you give 20-year-old Erin? What piece of advice would you give her within sexuality realm?
Oh, man, girlfriend. young Erin. Or anyone, Scarlett's listening of that age, I think I would say to really think about how you feel about sex and sexuality aside from what anyone else says or thinks. I would probably tell myself to journal about my experiences, about what I'm feeling, and not judge those thoughts, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter but to anyone else who you're attracted to, what you want to do, what your desires are, as long as they're not harmful to you or other people. I think that I would encourage myself at that age to let go of or maybe probably go to therapy earlier, honestly, because I've been in therapy for the last few years. Probably go to therapy earlier and realize that anything that makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong or bad when it comes to sex is not okay, if I'm not harming anyone. So, you know, to seek out people, like-minded people, to seek therapist to feel okay sexually, that sex is good and okay, and you know, if taken, you know, safely and with consent and stuff. So I just think I would allow myself the space to think and talk about it.
Even if you're not acting on the sex or the desire that you're hoping for, you know, trying to consent to, like just being able to say it or write it down and acknowledge it, I think, and honor it in a way.
Yeah, I
love the idea of journaling.
Yeah, and I think too, getting into, you know, as a people pleaser, I think that sometimes I, you know, felt like I would owe sex, or I've been seeing this guy for a while, we should probably have sex, or let's just default to what he wants to do, and that sort of thing.
Should word.
Yeah.
That should word's a shame word.
Yeah.
Anytime it pops up, just be like, this is shame.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was so heavily like focused on the act and what that could mean to that person or what it should mean to me mm-hmm. or whatever, that I never really took the time to be like, yeah, but what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I want to do and what's healthy for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because sex can be tricky when if you're an emotional, sensitive person or otherwise. And just being more intentional, I think being more intentional for me mm-hmm. would have helped as I was sort of working through those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I would tell 20-year-old Mary to go ahead and try masturbating, girl. It's fun. It wasn't until my late 20s that I
really
started.
Really, was your late 20s?
No. Yeah.
Girl, I done humped that pillow at age 13 and it felt amazing. It was a body pillow. It was amazing. I mean, I felt terrible about it for a while.
Go buy yourself a body pillow.
Get yourself a body pillow. Although, like, 20-year-olds are like, yeah, I mean, I've had a vibrator for, like, 5 years.
Yeah,
thanks.
I know. Everyone's so much cooler these days.
I know.
Okay, so as you know, Scarlett, we like to do a Q&A session or a portion of the podcast. So I did get a question from a listener. They're wondering, how do I – and I want Aaron, if you will, to help me answer this. So how do I keep my faith practice while exploring my sexuality? This is a great question, and I'm assuming that you're part of a religion, church, faith that is stricter or maybe has certain views on sexuality that I personally wouldn't agree with. Mm-hmm. That's the assumption I'm making. And also, my answer and Aaron's answer or advice might not resonate with you, and that's okay. It's just where we're coming from with our experiences. And we both were raised in a church, so I think we, you know, can speak to this experience, at least from our, again, perspective. So here's the thing. We all have individual complexity when it comes to spirituality. I believe that a higher power, whatever that looks like for you, this thing wants you to be sexual. If you want to be sexual. So if your religious practice is about connecting with God or a higher power, I would rest assured that sexuality is not going to damage that relationship or that connection, because sexuality is not bad or sinful. Right. I don't think it is. I think that it's there because we're exposed to it's part of being alive. It's a part of experiencing pleasure. It's part of connecting with another person or with yourself. And like, that connection is what connects us with the world, with our communities, with the universe, however you want to look at it. When you engage in something that makes your body feel really good and you are being good to yourself, yeah, that's, to me, a spiritual practice. So that's my personal take on it. We as humans have the potential to experience great pleasures as part of our sexuality. So, you know, we can orgasm, we can laugh, we can feel really good, feel really empowered, feel really connected. And again, that connection all plays into this, I think, this higher power. And I think you can absolutely be religious and sexual. And I think that, you know, the thing about organized religion is there's these sets of rules and guidelines, but in the grand scheme of things, there's no set rules for how you go through your own life. I think you're allowed to take what you like from a religion and then take, you know, and not take everything and add to it, maybe from other religions, maybe just from yourself and your core and your intuition. And that's even more beautiful, I think, because that right there means you have your own faith that's just about you.
Yeah.
So my short answer is, you can be sexual and you can have faith. And it might take a little while to figure out exactly what that looks like for you day to day and what rituals you want to have. But I think it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's a tough question for me to answer because I'm so far from that. But I mean, it's also, I get the question because I was there and I struggled with that so much. And I think that you certainly don't have to leave your faith if you want to be sexual. And that's, to be clear, not why I left mine. There was other things that were going on at the time. But I think faith is beautiful. I think religion and religious communities are beautiful. I think that, you know, but at the end of the day, it comes to you and what you want. And so I think you think about before you engage in any kind of pleasure, right? You know, whether it's, I don't know,
whether it's
a meal, sex, sleeping in until noon, you know what I mean? There's things to think about. It's not just, you know, it's like, who is your partner? Who are you choosing? What kind of give and take do you need from that? Maybe it's not much, and maybe sex is just physical for you and you just want to scratch that itch. Cool. Use a condom, get on birth control, scratch the itch. Great. Or maybe it's more complicated than that. And also, you know, don't feel bad if you don't want to have sex. Like, maybe your faith and that's part of it for you, and like you just don't feel like it, you don't want to, you're not curious, and you're okay with that. That's fine too. Mm-hmm. I just think whatever you choose to do, just don't cast judgment on other people for it.
Yeah.
Don't push. I don't think it's okay to push those beliefs on others. I don't think it was okay for adults to ask me to be an example and tell people why I wasn't going to have sex. I think it's an incredibly personal decision. And at 16, I wasn't ready to make that proclamation. So, you know, if you're in your early 20s or late teens, do whatever feels right and okay for you. But I would really ask you not to push those judgments or those things on other people. Share it with people you're comfortable with. But yeah, I would just be careful about that. And I agree with you. If there's a God, if there's a higher power, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Guess what, y'all?
Sex is pleasurable.
Right.
Like,
the clitoris
has no function.
It has no function. No function. It's a pleasure.
That's not a, you know,
that's not an accident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Yeah. So
that right there is your answer.
Yeah.
Some things that I just want to go over, quick definition. So Erin earlier was talking about how sex can be a really emotional thing for her. There is a sexual orientation that's called demisexuality, and that is that's a sexuality where you need the emotional connection in order to have sex.
Oh,
so that's a thing that exists. Lots of people could be, people could be experiencing that. So just have that in your repertoire. Also, Erin made a good point that not everyone feels sexual. That could be asexuality. That could be just a certain time in life that you don't feel sexual. Either way, it's totally okay and valid. Same with romantic. Some people don't feel romantic, and that's called aromantic.
Huh.
I just wanted to bring up these few definitions since I am a sex educator. I'm trying to get this stuff out there. So that's a wrap up on our Q&A advice section. Thank you, Erin, for your wisdom.
Oh, you are welcome.
So we're going to do my favorite segment, which is the pause for pleasure, which I do at the end of each episode. And we can just talk about one or two or a few things that have given us pleasure in the last week or two.
Ooh.
So for me, I was on a beach vacation last week. First of all, I will be going to the beach in September from now on. It was empty. It was like not too hot.
Man, that's lovely.
It was perfect. But I am a sucker for outdoor showers. I love to be naked outside.
Oh, nice.
But also have like the privacy. So I'm like feeling the breeze everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah. And this was a great outdoor shower because there were trees overhead. And it was like windy because of, unfortunately, the hurricanes. But still, the wind was really nice. And I was just outside, warm water, naked. It felt so good. I was so present. That is definitely one of my pleasures. What's one of your pleasures, Erin?
I got to spend all day Sunday with my niece, and she's almost two.
Aww.
And she's got two older brothers, and my brother and sister-in-law took them to Hershey Park. So I was with Elizabeth all day.
Girls' day.
And we spent like an hour. She's got these like plastic fruits that are Velcroed together. So they're cut in half and they're Velcroed together. And there's this plastic knife. And so the child then cuts through it, and they like practice cutting veggies, I guess, or whatever. She loved this so much that we did it for an hour. I spent an hour putting back together bananas and apples and strawberries, and I'd say, "What's this?" And she'd say, "Strawberry." And then she cut right through it, and then like was so joyful like when it cut through. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And it just made me really happy, and I just forgot for like an hour that the world existed.
Yeah,
it was just a really fun, cool thing.
That is exactly what pleasure is, when you are just in the moment cutting strawberries, cutting veggies. I'm going to hire her to come cook for me, I think, one day, because that is my least favorite part of dinner cooking is chopping things. All right. Awesome. So, Erin, where can our listeners find you on the social meds?
Oh, man. Give me a follow on Instagram at EE Drew. You can also find me, Erin Drew, on Facebook. I have a page to like there. I have a website coming up that's in the works. I still have a few episodes of Gimme the Deet podcast.
Nice.
And on Mortified, I'm on the Mortified podcast.
Yes.
It's called The Mortified Guide. I'm episode 151, Confessions of a Catholic Schoolgirl, actually.
We didn't even cover all that, but.
Which is, adults read from their childhood diaries on stage, and it's a very fun show. And it's also around Baltimore and other cities, so.
You all check have to out. Check it out. Aaron yeah. is hilarious. I'm telling you, you will pee your pants. I have done multiple times. And as you know, to find me, I'm at @MaryAdele_sexeducator on Instagram. Email me with your questions, concerns, especially for my Q&A segment. I'm at info@MaryAdele.com. And thank you, Scarlett. Make sure you're pausing for pleasure. And I'll tune in you'll tune in. And I'll come back next month with a new episode.
Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.